What's happened here, as I said, Paul has he's closed out some doctrinal teachings, and now he's coming to the close, and he says, I want you to pray for me. Now, Paul was very specific, and I want you to notice what he did. He didn't just say, pray for me, though he did say that, right? He said, I want you to pray for me. And in verse number 30, he said, in the latter part of that, he said, I want you to join me in your prayers to God for me. Now, Paul said, I'm praying. Now, here's the first thing that I noticed when I read this scripture. Oftentimes, I'll have people come to me as the pastor, and perhaps you do too, have people come to you and they'll say, pray with me. Well, I don't mind praying, or pray for me, and I don't mind praying for you, but I'd rather pray with you, right? They say, pray for me. Well, I don't mind praying for you, but now you pray. You pray about it. Don't be asking other people to pray about things that you're not willing to spend time in prayer for. Amen. And so when missionaries stand up here and they say, pray for me, I just believe with all of my heart, whether they say it or not, they're saying what Paul said here in verse number 30 of Romans chapter 15, pray with me for me. Paul said, I'm praying for myself. Is that what he's saying, brethren? Look at it again, the latter part of verse number 30. That you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Right? I want you to pray for me, but I want you to pray with me as we pray for me. I have some needs. And this is what Paul's saying. Listen, Paul understood the severity of this. He understood the urgency and the importance. So let's look at just a few simple things that'll help us. As Paul was writing to a church, just like we're a church, Paul was a missionary, just like we support missionaries, and we have other guests coming, and they have some desires of us. And so let's see how we can pray for our missionary brethren scripturally. All right, now there's other ways, but here's certainly some ways. Let's look at it. Number one, I want us to look at the estimate or the importance that Paul put on prayer. All right, I notice here that Paul said, it's almost like he's saying, I can't do this without you. All right, I need you. You say, what makes you think that? Because of some of the words that he uses, and we'll get to it in just a moment, but I just want to point them out. Notice if you would in verse number 30, now I beseech you. That is a picture of a man on his knees, all right? On his knees to the church. And he's saying, hey, church, I need you. I need you to pray for me. This is important. I can't do this without you. It's not some guy flippantly saying, hey, you know, if you find time during your busy day, breathe my name in prayer. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul said, I'm begging you. The ministry depends on you. Brethren, and it does. It depends on the prayers of God's people. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. God's work is done through God's power, and God's power is manifested through God's people praying. And so he took it very serious. And so he used the word beseech, and we'll get into that word in just a moment. Then he said this. Notice also in verse number 30, he said, that ye strive together. You see that? Strive together. That is a very strong word. And we'll look at it. So because of some of the wording that Paul uses, I see where Paul was saying, hey, listen, I need you. I need you. Now, I want to make this very clear. All missionaries need local churches. All missionaries do. But you know what dawned on me today as I was meditating some? All churches need missionaries. I can't carry out the Great Commission without missionaries. And yet I've been given the Great Commission. Amen? The church has been given the Great Commission. Fellowship Baptist Church, listen, missionaries need Fellowship Baptist Church. That's why they visit with us. That's why we bring them in. We want to be a great encouragement to them, and we want to help them in the ministry that God's called them to. But can I tell you, in order for Fellowship Baptist Church to be a Bible-believing church, a Bible-based church, we need them. We can't carry out the Great Commission without missionaries. I can't go into all the world without them, but I can through them, right? You can too. You can too. And yet we've received that commandment. So Paul's saying, I need you. Now, we need them, but Paul needs us. Missionaries need us to pray for them. All right? There was an importance. Paul placed an importance on that. Please, he said. He was pleading with them. please pray for me. Not only that, he said in verse number 30, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. I like that. This is not, Paul said, listen, I'm not asking you to pray that I would be some super apostle, some super preacher, some great missionary. He said, I want you to pray that everything that is done, I want it to be done for Jesus Christ's name's sake. Is that what he said? Amen. So that's good praying. When we pray, God, we want you to be glorified. God, we want you to receive all the glory. And he said, I'm begging you in verse number 30. Look at it. I'm beseeching you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Paul's saying, pray with me that more and more people might hear the gospel because Jesus deserves it. Jesus Christ's name deserves to be heard among the heathen. The name of Jesus deserves to be heard among all people. And he said, "For pray with me for Christ's sake, for Jesus Christ's sake, that many, 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 many people might hear that name." You know, when we pray, that's the way we need to pray. God, open up doors. Open up doors to those in these fields. God, help them as they're out soul winning. God, give them boldness. God, give them protection. Give them strength. Meet their needs. God, bind back the forces of evil that are trying to hinder them and come against them and discourage them. God, encourage our brother today. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, I'm praying that you would pray for me. Number one, the reason of importance is because it's for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Now notice what he said, and. You see that word there? And. There's a second reason. And I like this. He said, when you pray for me as a missionary, not only pray for me that the name of Jesus might go forward and that for the name of Jesus' name's sake, but he said, pray that the love of the Spirit might be upon my ministry. You know, brethren, this is something that every ministry ought to pray. Every ministry ought to pray that when people are ministering in Christ's name, that people realize it's in Christ's love as well. He said in verse number 30 of chapter 15, he said, and for the love of the Spirit. In other words, I think what he's saying there is that God would give me love as I minister to people. You know why? It becomes very burdensome. It becomes very burdensome. You get wore down. You go through a lot when you're ministering to people. And missionaries are there and they're being attacked and they're being confronted. And he said, I don't want to lose the love that compelled me to do what I'm doing. I don't want to lose that in the midst of my ministry. So as you pray for me, you pray, Paul said, that God would do this for Jesus' sake and that people might see the love of Jesus in me and in our team as we minister for him. That's very important. You know, I thought about our church here. I thought, you know, we need to pray that as the buses roll off this property here, that people would not lose sight. Yeah, we're doing it so that the little children can come to Sunday school, and we're doing it so the little children will have a place to come and hear about Jesus, but we're doing it in love. We're doing it because Jesus loves them. That's why we're doing it. Jesus loves them. And so we want that love to be transferred through us to them. All ministry should be that way. All ministry. When people get weary in ministry, they begin to lose the love of God that's shed abroad in their hearts. And they do it not from really a blessing, but from a burden. And people begin to get short with people, and they begin to just carry out ministry almost like it's a duty and not a delight. I've done it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten so tired of the ministry that you began to do it out of duty and it's no longer a delight? Can I tell you, people will not see the love of God in that. And Paul said, I don't want that to happen. And so as we're praying for our missionary brethren, he said in verse number 30, he said, pray, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me. Now let's look at a couple of words there. All right? First, I mentioned to you the word beseech. That word means literally to beg, to plead with. He said, I'm pleading with you. Well, what kind of Christian, if somebody stood up here and said, listen, I'm begging you, write my name down. I plead with you. And they come to you on their knees and said, listen, I need you to pray for me. I may get to this foreign soil. I may get to this foreign land. I may carry my family across the sea, and I may fail. I may fall flat on my face and fail God if you don't hold me up in prayer. And brethren, that's a reality. That's a reality. Actually, let me tell you this. You don't even have to go across the sea. You can try to serve God in this local church right here, and you'll fall flat on your face, and so will this pastor if we do not pray one for another. We need to pray one for another. It's important. But tonight, we're talking about missionaries. They need our prayer. They need you to call their name. They need you to breathe their name in prayer. He said, so first of all, I'm begging you. See that word strive? Strive together. Did you know the Bible says that Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was striving. And with great agony, that's the word there, he prayed in the garden. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood from his brow. He was in earnest in his praying. And so we need to be earnestly praying. We need to realize, I like the wording that Paul used here. Look at it in verse 15. That ye strive together. We're on the same team. And we need to keep that in mind. I think Paul said this for a purpose of what he's getting ready to say. Sometimes when people don't do things exactly, and listen, I'm not talking about compromise, so I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. When people don't do things exactly the way we do it, it bothers us. And Paul said, no, wait a minute. I may not do it exactly the way you do it, but we're still on the same team. We're still preaching the same word. Amen. Right? You following me? You say, well, I don't know. There was just something about that missionary. I don't know. His personality just didn't. His personality? What's that got to do with anything? Amen. Man, I don't know. His personality just didn't jive with me. If God called him to preach, and he's preaching the Word of God, amen, and there's people getting saved under his ministry, his personality does not have to jive with your personality. You pray for the man. Say amen with me now. Well, I tell you, we get some nitpicking sometimes. We think that everybody's got to be a friend before we can support their ministry. That's just not the case, brethren. It's not the case. And Paul realized this, and so he said in verse number 30, he said, now I'm beseeching you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Got to pray earnestly. It's work to pray. You say, preacher, I don't know what it is. I just don't pray as much as I should. I'll tell you what it is. I can help you. Amen? Because I struggle with that myself. It's work. It's work to pray. There's a spiritual battle going on. Every time you go to pray, a devil or some devils are going to show up, and you're going to get really sleepy. Or you're going to think about five other things that you need to be doing instead of spending that time in prayer for your missionaries. Come on now, am I right? Your mind's going to be running everywhere. And you'll be thinking, what's that noise I hear? And you'll be thinking something's broke and you got to go check on it. Or somebody's at the door and you got to go see who it is. The devil will do anything to keep God's people off of her knees. And we need to be focused and earnest. And let me give you a few other things and I'll be through. I just want to point these things out, and then we're going to have a season of prayer tonight for our missionaries. All right? Look, if you would, at verse number 31. Paul said, here's what I want you to pray about. He said, as you're praying for me, first of all, he said, I beg you now. I beseech you, please pray for me. Please pray for me. By the way, I'm not a missionary, but I'm your pastor, and I want to take this opportunity to tell you, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I need your prayer. I need your prayer. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the leaders of the church. Pray for your church family. Oh, how we need your prayer. Listen, we can't do much. We won't get much done for God's kingdom without prayer. It's not going to happen. We might touch somebody's fancy here and there, and they might say, oh, I like that and I like that. But there's not a whole lot going to get done for God's kingdom without some people saturating this thing in prayer. So please pray for us. And then pray for the missionaries. Paul said, pray this. Number one, look what he said in verse number 31. He said, I want to make this personal. So when you pray, don't just say, God bless the missionaries. Amen. God bless the missionaries. Paul said, no, that's not what I want you to pray. Notice what he said in verse number 31. Look at it now. That I, he made it personal. That I, Paul, you've been in a room and people just say, God bless all the pastors. Or, I don't know, what God bless all the deacons, and you're a deacon, you know. God bless all the bus workers. But you know, you appreciate that. Amen. You do. God bless all the missions committee. You appreciate that. But I'm going to tell you what you really appreciate. God, would you bless Brother David Brooks as he heads up that bus ministry? I tell you, it means something different then, don't it? Come on now, don't it? I mean, when somebody calls your name out and it means enough to them to speak your name before the throne of God's grace, it means something, brethren. It means something. We don't want to just generalize everything we do and just say, all right, God bless the missions and the Sunday school and the buses and the pastors. And listen, we appreciate, and that's good. But there's times, and here Paul said, when you pray for me, would you make it personal? Make it personal. Call my name. Look what he said now in verse number 31. That I, not me and Timothy and Titus and Silas and Barnabas. Paul said, I want you to pray for me. I need you to pray specifically for me. I need you to pray for me. That's real. That's real. What do you need us to pray with you about, Paul? I need some victory. I'm in a struggle. Look what he said now. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe. And then he named in Judea. If you study the life of Paul, you'll find where there were people that hated him so much that they said, we are going to make a vow to our gods. We're not going to eat or sleep until this man is dead. We're going to kill him. Sounds like he needs some prayer. Amen. Did that happen, brethren? There was a group of men who got together and said, we're not going to eat or sleep until Paul the apostle is dead. I believe they all starved to death if they kept their vow. Why? Because God's people were praying. And Paul said they can do nothing when God's people, this mighty army called the Church of the Living God, begins to get hold of the throne of God. There's nothing the enemy can do. Amen. Paul knew that. He said, I want you to pray. And so, brethren, when we pray for our missionaries tonight and moving forward, you remember there's many enemies now where these folks are going and are trying to keep them from getting the gospel and breaking the bonds of chains of bondage and from dispelling the darkness with light. And so he said, I want you to pray that we would have some victory. You know, that's every missionary's prayer request. When we go, we want to see some fruit for our labor. When we go, we want to see some people get saved. We want to see some people come from the darkness to the light, right? We want to see some people get saved. That's why they're going, brethren. They're not going over there to teach them how to wear a shirt and tie. Listen to me now. Hear me. They're not going over there to teach them how to eat fish and grits. They're going over there to tell them about Jesus Christ. They're not going to westernize them. They're going to get them converted by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we need to pray. He said, first of all, that I be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. And then second of all, watch this now. You want to pray for the missionaries? Here's something you can pray. Are you writing it down? Number one, I want to pray that they have victory and that God allows them to accomplish what they go into the field for and that souls get saved and gives them protection and safety. Number two, look what he said in verse 31. And that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail here, but I'm going to make this personal for us. This is the way we need to pray for our missionaries. God, would you help God's people not to be so nitpicking that we have to have the same, like the same color, or we won't take them on us for support. Yeah. We got like the same kind of, we like bluegrass. Oh, we don't like bluegrass, so we're not going to take you on for support. What? This is what Paul's saying, that the saints, look at it now, will accept me. Paul was taking an offering to them. And I can't get in great detail about this because of time, but I want you to notice what Paul's saying here. It's important. Paul was getting a lot of Gentiles and heathens saved and pagans. And I'm going to tell you, the church at Jerusalem, look at it now, verse 31. He said, I want you to pray that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. The people in Jerusalem were getting really upset at Paul. Why? He was bringing in some hippies and some dope heads. You say, not Paul. Well, I mean, it was the equivalent of that. He was getting some pagans saved. Amen. And boy, the church of Jerusalem said, oh, no, now, you're not going to bring them people in here. And Paul said, I want you to pray for me. Because these people need to see that the love of God and the grace of God is to the Gentiles too. And so when you see these pictures and you see some of these folks in these areas and you see them, you know, in their culture and those things, that would be the same as a missionary saying, God, help us to realize what these people are really up against. And help us to understand, they're not in Madison County. Amen. They're not. Listen, they're in areas and they're fighting things that we know little to nothing about. And cultures that we know nothing about. And so God, help us to be accepting of that, not compromise. Now don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about the word of God here. I'm talking about things that these people are faced with. You understand that, don't you, brethren? I hope that you do. As you pray for these missionaries, God help them. They face things that we don't have to face. So that was the second thing in verse number 31. Then look at verse number 32. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God. So he said, I want to make it personal. And then he said, you know, I want you to be earnest about it. Beseech, strive. And then he said, I want it to be, you know, through urgency. There's a spiritual battle going on. And then he said, I want it to be a time of refreshing. Paul said, I need some rest. And if it be the will of God, I'm going to sail to Rome. Now, you and I know that didn't happen, did it? I'm going to sail to Rome. And he said, if it be the will of God, I want to come and be refreshed with you. Look at what he said in verse number 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Pray that these missionaries who give time on the road, driving hundreds, thousands of miles in deputation, and then load up everything that they own in a container and ship it to wherever they're going, and then go over there and get used to a new culture and get, you know, go through culture shock and begin to witness and learn languages and learn cultures and try to pray that God would strengthen them and that God would give them a season or a time of refreshing. That's what he's saying in verse number 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. You pray that God would give these missionaries some rest, even in the midst of their labor. I don't know, and you don't know, that these families that are coming to us are very tired. I don't know. I don't know. I know the ministry can be very wearisome. And as they come to us, let's don't be a burden to them. Let's be a blessing to them. So when you're talking to the missionaries, don't go back there and tell them, you know, I just wanted to tell you that my family's been going through a hard time for the last 6 months, and then start unloading everything on them. I don't know that that would be wise. You need a prayer partner? Come to me as your pastor. Come to someone within the church. There's certainly nothing wrong with you mentioning to a missionary guest, would you pray for my family? But I don't know that I would take 30 minutes of their time while they're trying to talk to other people. And I'm not saying you do this. I'm just warning you, don't do this. Take up 30 minutes of their time while they're trying to share with other people, but you are a missionary hog because you want to tell them all that's going on in your life. Do not do that. I don't know that anyone here would, but you never know what people may do. Learn to be a giver and not a taker. Learn to realize that other people have problems too. Every time you meet someone, don't tell them about all your problems. you know, where you just, right? I mean, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You meet somebody, and there's just people that every time they meet somebody, they got to tell them everything's wrong with them. Listen, that is not the way to live life. That's not the way that you want to pray for people and have people pray for you. If it's that bad for you, what you need to do is find you someone that you can make a pact with and claim Matthew, that if any two on heaven or on earth agree as touching any one thing in heaven, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. And be accountable to one another and get you a prayer partner and really go to God in prayer about it. But I don't know that the missions conference would be a time, and I'm just saying this as a way of warning. Be a refresher to people. Isn't that what Paul said? When you pray for us in verse 32, pray that we may be with you, be refreshed. And then finally, he said in verse 33, the peace of God will be a result. God gives peace to people who are always looking to the needs of others. You'll know the most peaceful people in all the world. It's those people who are concerned about the needs of others. Not people who are only concerned about their needs. And Paul said, I want you to pray for me. And I know as you do, God's going to give you peace. Isn't that what he said in verse 33? Yeah. You want the peace of God? Get with the God of peace. And God will flood your soul with a peace that this world knows little to nothing about. And that comes through getting genuinely concerned about what God's concerned about. And that's missions. So here's just a few ways, all right? A few ways to get involved in praying for missionaries. Now, there's many other things in the Scripture that's laid out, but here's a few ways. Did you pin them down? I hope that you did. And I hope that we'll begin to pray for our missionaries this way. Missionaries are soldiers. They're in the battle. They're on the front line, all right? And they're going to areas, many of these areas where these missionary families are going, Satan has a stronghold. And when they come, he attacks them severely to try to get them out before they break that stronghold for the cause of Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Stanley. Brother Stanley, would you come to the platform? And he's going to pray for the DeLuca family, the Frew family, the Gossett family, the Grinstead family.
Be holy.